Welcome to another episode of the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Kelly, and today we're talking about the importance of mentorship and the value of church planting networks. You know, a lot of times we church planters think that we can go it alone or have success in planting with just a small team and hard work. But today we're going to see that being part of a bigger organization of mentors and coach can make things so much easier. Joining me today is Will Torres, who is an experienced church planter and pastor of Proclaim Church in Boynton Beach, Florida. Will is part of the Calvary Global Network as well as Harbor Network, and he's going to talk with us today about the benefits of mentorship and how important it is to be part of a network focused on church planting. Also joining us today, back for more, is my friend Daniel Williams. Daniel has been on the show numerous times and is something of a church planter himself. Daniel and Will have known each other for years in Calvary Chapel circles, and Daniel's church helped mentor and then send out Will and the team to plant their church. These guys have a lot of hands-on experience and wisdom to share with us. I hope you enjoy. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast. It's me, your host, Brian Kelly, and I'm here with my guest co-host, back again, Daniel Williams.
That's right. Still here. Hasn't kicked me out yet.
He was freestyle rapping just earlier, so maybe we can get that at the end of the show or something. What do you think?
It's amazing.
Awesome. We got a good show for you today. We're going to be talking about learning from other networks. We're going to be talking about mentorship and support for church planters from networks and how we can do that better. We're here today with Will Torres from Proclaim Church.
The What's living up? Legend.
Proclaim it, baby.
I love that name. That's in Lake Worth, Florida.
Yes, sir. Right. East coast of Florida.
The East Coast. The East Coast is the best coast, I heard.
It doesn't rhyme, but it's so true.
It doesn't rhyme, but it must be true. All right. Thanks for being with us, Will.
Oh, thank you for inviting, man.
Yeah. So we met earlier today, and just awesome getting to know this guy. He seems, you know, you get feelings about people like, I feel like, Will, you're genuine, like you're a good guy. So is that true, Daniel?
You've known him for longer. I appreciate that.
Absolutely, man.
But the real question is, would you even say I wasn't if it was the opposite was true, right?
That would be. That's a good question. Yeah, I'm the one asking the questions here. I'm just kidding.
No, Will's a great pastor, a great friend, and excited to be able to interview him today because I've learned a lot from Will.
Vice versa, brother.
So Will, what's your history with Daniel and kind of in the area here?
Yeah, so me and Daniel met about 7, maybe 9 years ago, right? Almost 9 years ago at a Calvary Chapel Pastors Conference up in Merritt Island. He had just started, and I was an associate pastor at a church down in Coral Springs. We sort of briefly introduced, and you know, he told me he was starting in Del Rey. I had told him he should go ahead and reach out to the recovery community because there's a big recovery community out here. He was like, no, I want to reach good normal people.
it's the biggest in Florida, right? The recovery
one
group?
Del Rey specifically was known for and still is known for the recovery scene. There's about 3,000 AA meetings going on a month.
Oh, dang.
So New York Times held at the Capital Recovery Center of the world.
Yeah.
And that's why.
A lot of anonymity.
Yeah. So I was just saying, listen, I want to be known more about Jesus and the kingdom than just recovery. Like we're going to reach our city, and there are more people in the city than just recovery. But it was a big part of our journey and a big part of our faith, and got a lot of people in the church and seeing God save a lot of people in that ministry. So
praise God for that, man. Awesome. But yeah, so met him at the conference. No, we just briefly hooked up. Didn't really like, it wasn't like, oh, we're besties, right? No, just met and, you know, followed each other, I think maybe on Instagram, and, you know, went on with our lives. And a few years later, as God went ahead and placed a call on mine and my wife's life to go ahead and start Proclaim Church, we were praying, and we had started the business up here in Boynton Beach, actually in Lake Worth. And I was just loving what Daniel was doing on social media and sort of all the stuff that he's been doing online, you know, with his podcast and his and just his presence that, you know, I would always follow or send him little, you know, direct messages. And we hooked up one day and met, you know, I felt called to the Lord to go ahead and sow into his ministry and to go ahead and bless, right? You know,
And Daniel's smiling right now. Can't see him. He's smiling.
Hey, and you could also sow into my ministry. www.redemptiondb.com/give.
Receive a blessing.
Yeah. Shameless plug there. There you go.
No, but for real, what are your podcasts? And, you know, Will's talking about your...
So,
and that's one of the reasons why I'm here, too. I mean, I like you and everything, but he's an expert at this kind of media stuff.
So. No, it's been fun being able to be behind the scenes and help you out launch this podcast. And so I've been podcasting or doing videos, and just I feel like God's really connected me to a lot of different pastors, church planters, missionaries. And so I want to use that gift and learn from them. So I have a podcast called Leadership Lessons. We're about to launch season 5 of that. And so it's a ministry of EE leaders. EELeaders.com. It's encouraging and equipping church leaders. So I really have a call to not only plant churches, but coach, mentor, those type of things. And so that's what he's like referring to. Is I'm connected a lot, and I love being able to connect other people and help people out behind the scenes. Yeah. And so it's fun that I'm co-hosting with you, but it wasn't necessarily part of the plan. You're just, I guess after I gave you so much wisdom, you're like,
I'm like, man, you'd be good. Can you?
Let's do this together.
Yeah. Hey, baby, it's better together.
That's always.
Mentoring. You said mentoring, and it's a big part of the Ministry Leadership Network. I mean, Will, as far as getting started with this, the church plant and everything, how did that mentoring, I mean, first of all, tell us a little bit about the church and then how that mentoring played a role in getting started.
The name of the church is Proclaim Church. You know, we started Proclaim in our living room about 3.5 years ago, you know, and basically when we felt the call to go ahead and start, I was an associate pastor over at a Calvary Chapel in Coral Springs. And there was a succession plan for me to go ahead and take over that church, you know, and basically God was said no, right? God said no. And my senior,
we don't have to get into details.
God said no, right? No, but honestly, the conversation I had with my senior pastor was, hey, listen, because we had it had evolved into 6 years of waiting for him to go ahead and sort of pass the baton. Mm-hmm. And in that 6 years, the direction that God had taken me and my wife was totally different. So as we were having the conversation, I sat down. It was a real tough conversation with him, right? We went out to go eat to one of our favorite spots. And I said, hey, you're not ready to go ahead and let this go yet, right? You know, and in all love, right? Because I wasn't ready to try to push him out. That was never my heart, right? But I know... And at that time, I knew that he wasn't ready to go ahead and turn it over. But even with that being said, you know, the conversation was more like, hey, God's really calling me not to go ahead and take over this position here. But God's calling me to start something new.
That's where... So you went out from that church. Your whole goal was, we're going to take this thing over, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to grow, like busting at the seams once I get started. But then God's like, no. It's time for you to do something new and fresh.
Yeah, you know, it just...
I made that stuff up about the busting.
Yeah, the whole busting.
That's what I think.
Where did that come from? Yeah. No, but...
he never told me that, disclaimer.
No, so you know, like I said, the plan was, there was a succession plan in place, but... And I want to make sure that it's communicated. This, me launching or me starting, was never about me... you know, trying to go ahead and usurp authority or trying to go ahead and start something on my own.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want a church.
You want to be respectful of the other churches
absolutely,
and pastors
sure.
you've been you know, serving under. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's good.
So nice. There you go. But the end result was, you know, we had the conversation, and it took about a year from that conversation for us to actually leave the church and to be prayed out, sent out, right? You know, and unfortunately during that time, you know, with our Calvary, right, and I would say what's been the norm within the Calvary Chapel Association, or just
how long have you been part of Calvary Chapel? Like
about 15 years.
15 years.
You know? I mean, down in South Florida, right? You know, at the time I would have.
Did
been,
you ever meet Chuck Smith?
I sat on Nefa's teaching a couple times. Ooh. at the conferences. Right?
Under the spout where the glory comes out. That's what you
That's
said
it,
when you sat
bro.
In the front row.
It was. Oh,
I think the only time
the
I
dove
met
dove came down.
I think the only time I met Chuck Smith was in the bathroom.
Dang.
It's a true story, but
is it one for that's this is a you know, PG rated show, so
no, that's the whole story. Okay. I just reminded me when you
Did
said
you
under the spout it all comes out, and I was like, this is a church planning podcast, so I feel like I could be a little edgy. I just saying.
So you're an expert at podcast. Are we allowed to? Can we edit afterwards? Is there any content out?
You can do whatever you want. We get to make it all up.
I'm just starting here with Cultivate, man. They're entrusting this to me, so no, that was good. I like that. Yep. Yeah. I met Chuck Smith one time. We were missionaries in Uganda in East Africa.
Oh, cool.
And so we were there for 10 years. But during that time, it was like my dream to have like Papa Chuck come out and, bless the church.
Sure.
Because
the
church was going good and everything. It was, a Calvary Chapel church there. And we had a Bible college, actually, mm-hmm. where, I don't know if I didn't tell you this, Daniel, but we had the first students graduate, the non-American, indigenous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fully indigenous graduating class from our Calvary Chapel Bible College. And that was when Chuck Smith was signing the certificate. So they see them all there with their certificates.
Well, I share the bathroom story because my dad was a Calvary pastor. And so for 40 years now, I grew up in the Calvary movement. And so I have, I've been around.
Your dad's still pastoring, right?
He's still pastoring. Calvary is in my blood. I grew up in a Calvary church. I'm a Calvary Chapel pastor, CG, and all that different stuff. So it wasn't like, I want to have Papa Chuck or this or that. It was sort of like, I've sat under his teaching.
Yeah.
But, we also were in the same stall.
Not the same stall.
No,
hopefully.
That would be weird.
It was next door.
Nice. Exactly.
Was there space in between or was it right next?
That's too personal.
Okay.
We're just going to keep on. We're going to move on.
No, so I got.
Maybe we should edit this out.
I was. So I talked to.
At least this is entertaining for people.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, what is this podcast
what
about?
Just
unsubscribe.
What just happened?
I met him at a conference and we were, walking down the hallway and I was like, hey, Pastor Chuck, I love you. I love everything. I love your music or whatever, And I was like, hey, would you ever think about coming to Uganda and doing a conference or just praying for the guys or whatever? And I'll never forget it. And this is where I learned a valuable lesson as a translation lesson, actually, because he smiled, he did that big smile and he said, I'll pray about it. That's what he said. I'll pray about it. That day I learned what I'll pray about it means. If anybody says I'll pray about it, and let me tell you what that means.
Nope.
That's not going to happen. But he was good about it. He loved the ministry, obviously. Mm. But I interrupted you.
No,
sorry.
You're good,
Calvary Chapel history.
So basically, when we got prayed out, right? They prayed us out with the mission of knowing that, hey, we're going to be launching a church, and we weren't launching nearby. We were actually launching maybe a half an hour north of where we were at in Boynton Beach. But as most Calvaries, as they're launching out church planners or, people who want to start churches or start fellowships, where God guides, God provides, right?
Hey, amen.
You get prayed out and you're on your own, right? You sort of, it's almost like a sink.
No, you're not
swim.
On your own. The Lord is with you.
Absolutely. Sure. The Lord is always with us. But, God's also called us to walk together, right?
Amen.
So in that process of us, moving forward with what God called us to go ahead and do, being prayed out, me and my wife really prayed and really started seeking the Lord, saying, hey, we want to make sure that we are prepared to go ahead and do this, mm-hmm. And we just started surveying the land, right? We started meeting with, one of the things that I wanted to go ahead and do was, as I was looking at Boynton Beach as our area where we were going to be reaching, because that's where we live.
Yeah.
Right. There was no specific city for us.
Are you from there? That's where you're from originally?
Well, no, I'm from New York. I'm from Brooklyn, actually.
Oh,
I moved down to Florida about 23 years ago.
Okay.
But I was living in Coral Springs and we had moved up to Boynton Beach about 2 years before we disconnected with Carvey Coral Springs and launched out. But, the idea was to get a survey of the land, find out what God was already doing in our area, because a lot of times, church planners, we're so excited.
No,
we're all gung-ho, right? We want to go ahead and think like, oh, God's going to do something amazing, right?
No one else is doing anything amazing,
because
exactly, I'm coming in to do it.
So that was not the attitude that I was going in with. I wanted to go ahead and
but
see.
But you're right. That is the case a lot of times.
Yeah,
I've done that. I'm guilty of that. Just like, and you're I assume you're going to start talking about connecting and that sort of thing.
Connecting with other pastors.
Yeah, so talk about that.
So I reached out to a couple of churches, reached out to Daniel, you know, to go sort of get his lay of the land. There's a brother, Rodney Wilkerson, who is now he's the regional director for Acts 29.
That's right.
Here.
We did a podcast with him a while back.
Okay, cool. That's right. That's right. That's right. But, you know, met with him and sat down and in conversation, I mean, Drew, meeting with Rodney, he had suggested about, hey, you know, you should look at maybe doing schooling, right? There was this opportunity with a local church down here that they had a program with Capital Seminary out of Pennsylvania where they actually were doing a Master's of Arts in Ministry. And the concentration was on church planning.
Whoa.
Right? So he was like, hey, go speak to Pastor Tommy, who was the pastor of the church, you know, and this is a mega church, right? This is like a large church in our area. So I go ahead and call him up, and out of nowhere, you know, not knowing me, Joe Schmo from the street, I'm telling him, hey, listen, this is what God's called me to go ahead and do. And Rodney, you know, said to go come and meet with you. He took 2 hours out of his time, sat down with me, and sort of gave me the vision, and I started school. Right, you know, started doing that, sat down with Daniel, you know, and as we were trying to figure out what the next step was, and one of the things that we knew as coming out of a church, right, as a church planner saying, if you would have thrown me into a building or into another church, I would have really functioned really well because I was used to having, you know, the systems in place,
yeah.
And, you know, but church planning is a different animal, right? It's a different beast. You know, you're having to go ahead and do a lot of recruitment. You're having to go ahead and do a lot of breakdown, setup. How do you lead? And in the midst of not having, you know, office space and whatnot. And
so you're coming out, you're basically told, and we'll get to this and how this is some of the things we want to start to change. We want this to be a positive, you know, conversation. I appreciate you being here for this, but you're saying you came out of this church that, a Calvary Chapel church, great pastor, nothing bad to say.
Yeah.
And just, you know, he just had nothing bad to say, all good things. But you're coming out of this, and it was really a lack of, like, support, mentorship.
There was
even help in some way or another. And then you, so this meeting up with Daniel, this meeting up with Rodney, this was not some kind of an official program
this
or anything.
It's relational. I mean, I have a little bit of an entrepreneurial background. So, I mean, you know, when you talk about trying to go ahead and start a business or, you know, I had started already a couple of businesses before, you know, I mean, you survey, you do your research before you go ahead and jump in. And that was sort of the take that I was walking with it, right? You know, I say, hey, I'm going to go ahead and figure out sort of, you know, as God is leading me, what's going on here, where God is already moving, and how can we connect to that and partner with that as we see where the stream of the Spirit is moving, right, in our city. But you're right in saying that there was no support, there was no mentorship, and no fault to my senior pastor
either. Right? That's the thing.
Because we didn't mean to do it.
I've done the same thing with guys out of my church.
Because I think that the MO that we've been used to in the past is, hey, this is the way we've always done it, right? That's the way Chuck did it, right? Hey, you want to go out? Here you go. You know, go to your city, start a Bible study, right? Go ahead and as God blesses, it will grow, right?
And it did back then.
And it still does today. It's not bad advice, but it's not the best advice. And I think that if you're a pastor listening to this podcast, if you're an emerging leader, I think you really want to consider the difficulty and the call that some church planners have. And it's something special, right? You know, it's something that we want to cultivate, and we want to make sure that, hey, you know, let's try to give them as much support as we can so that way they can go ahead and be successful. You know, that's why you do assessments. You go ahead and sit down with them, you walk with them, you do residencies for them where they can come in, where you can get to know them, they can get to know you, right? Where you can go ahead and assess, you know, opportunities, right? Weaknesses.
That's what we talked about on the show with Rodney, was that assessment process. He's part of Acts 29 Network. Yeah. They've got a assessment process. Cultivate, we've developed a pretty good assessment process.
Yeah.
You're right, man. It's like, we need to know what we're getting into. These young guys, or even old guys who want to start churches, talking about that assessment process. But after that assessment is the relationship with a mentor. In our case, with Cultivate, we have a mentor, which would be a local, like, pastor or something that can help out.
Yeah.
And then we have a coach level. So someone who is a seasoned expert at church planting could come alongside the mentor and the potential planner and do that. But talk to us a little bit about, so this, your church got started, Proclaim.
Mm-hmm.
You're proclaiming the gospel.
Proclaiming it, baby.
Amen.
Come on. That's right.
Amen. I like
in
that.
Word and deed.
I'm going to come listen.
Deed.
I'm going to listen online. Come you got on, sermons bro. Online?
Yeah, you can check it out. At Proclaim. On YouTube, we have a YouTube channel.
YouTube,
we're on
everything.
Facebook. You know,
Facebook, Twitter,
Instagram. No, I don't tweet.
TikTok.
I have a Twitter, but you know.
TikTok.
No, I'm a consumer. I'm a consumer of TikTok.
We already talked about this at lunch.
That's right.
A consumer, not a content
consumer,
provider.
A content creator,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, what was the question?
I was getting to it, but you got excited about Proclaim. No, I did too, though. The question was, so you this the importance of mentorship. We've now I'm going to be the first to. Confess, a lot of guys would say this. We in Calvary Chapel have not done a good job about being intentional with church planting.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, Calvary Chapel is one of the bigger church planting movements in the recent church history. That's crazy because you know it's a work of the Spirit. But
mm-hmm.
with the work of the Spirit, as well as mentorship coming alongside of some of these other guys, we can really do a lot more. And we've mentioned this on previous shows that we're trying to plant 1,000 new churches over the next 10
Let's
years.
Let's go.
Let's do this.
Let's go.
So
come
we
on.
Gotta, you know, we're gonna.
Let's do
you're
it.
You're not excited, Daniel? Come on.
Come
we're,
on. Just,
we're sitting here saying, let's go.
Come on, let's go.
1,000 only? That's it?
Huh?
That's what he's thinking.
Well, that's,
why
I'm literally
two,
thinking
why not
that.
2,000?
We were talking about that. Like we, as a church, or as a movement, there's 1,700 churches in the
yep.
CGN network.
Yep, give or take.
So if even one church planted another church within the next 10 years, we could easily double that.
That's true.
Yes, so,
true.
You know,
I'd like to come up with a challenge. May this will be the first time we hear about this challenge is if we could challenge every church within the Calvary Global Network group of churches to over the next 10 years, can you focus on with the help of Cultivate and
yeah.
even some of these other networks, we're going to talk about it in a minute to get a church planted would be amazing. Can we do it?
I think
absolutely.
I think you can. I think you'd probably be more successful because a lot of churches don't have the resources because it's heavy resource
yeah,
to go ahead and,
yeah.
and resource a church planner. But if you had churches that were of like mind and of like heart to partner together
yeah.
to go ahead and send someone out, right? That would be amazing.
Well, the good thing about Calvary Chapel is that we're all of a like mind and a like heart across the board within Calvary Chapel churches. So that's
exactly.
a really good thing about it.
That's right.
So this would be great, man. This would be a success.
Oh.
For those of you who are listening that are not part of Calvary Chapel, there's kind of a two different kind of Calvary Chapel networks. So it's kind of a joke. Inside
mm-hmm.
joke. Sorry
yes.
about that.
Yeah.
It's all good.
But we
man.
All thought it was funny. So. you got to be intentional. We use that word a lot, but
yeah.
as CGM, we're doing this Cultivate program. What we're interested to hear from you,
mm-hmm.
I appreciate your ministry and what you're doing. And I love the perspective of, a church planter that, I mean, you're not some like mega church guy. You're not out
no.
here like with a huge following, like,
no.
First of all, probably no one's ever heard of me listening to this podcast. Maybe Daniel, because he's online and everything.
No, it's just because Daniel Williams is the most common name. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like,
hey,
Smith.
Do you know Daniel Williams?
It's
oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Might as well.
Yeah.
I know that guy.
Yeah, I know him.
That's about it.
You know, so I think the value is in, here's a street level kind of church planner in yourself.
Yeah.
And being successful at it. And being successful, yes, we always give credit to God. Glory to God.
Amen.
He's the one that has enabled us to do all this. But being successful because you were mentored properly,
mm-hmm.
you were supported in your church plant.
Sure.
And being a Calvary Chapel guy yourself, having been a recipient of that mentorship or that help from another network, even besides the Calvary Global Network
yeah.
or the Calvary Chapel Association or Calvary Chapels in general. Talk to us a little bit about kind of your perspective on, is that something that you think would be beneficial for others, or how did that play into your own personal walk, I guess, in
Man,
church planting?
You know, that's a real good question. And it's interesting because I think a lot of times as church planners, one of the main reasons that we are out there trying to connect with different networks, whether it's the Send Network, whether it's Acts 29, the Cultivate, the Calvary Chapel's kicking off now, or I'm part of the Harbor Network, or any church planting network, is because as a church plant, you're trying to get resourced. You're trying to get dollars behind your mission and your vision. And a lot of times these networks, as they have assessment processes for you to go through, they connect with you. They have cohorts where they provide specific, you know, church planning oriented teachings and sort of, you know, a mentoring. You know, one of the biggest things is they're also bringing money, right? They're putting their money where their mouth is, in the sense of, you know, as you're going through their process, and if you submit, and this is the key, right? If you submit yourself to the process, because you're being evaluated.
It's only going
to
be as helpful as the dedication, you know, of the person.
Absolutely. But what I mean is, you're being evaluated, right? As you go through assessment, they're going to go ahead and ask you tough questions. They're going to meet with you and your wife.
So you passed the test.
I did, man. Dang. Flying colors.
So Harbor, what does Harbor do? What's that ministry? Summarize it.
They are just a church planting network that has a heart to go ahead and plant other healthy churches. What really connected me with them is, as you know, hooking up with Spanish River, you know, for education, you know, being mentored by Daniel, you know, doing a church residency with him over at his church as me and my wife got in over there. One of the things that was good for us was to go ahead and get outside of the Calvary Chapel sort of bubble to realize that there are other ways of doing things, and it's okay. We can actually play friendly in the sandbox, right? You know, we could.
Did you feel kind of guilty, though? Like, you didn't want people to find out and everything?
You know what? Can I be honest?
Yeah, of course.
I didn't feel guilty of sharing it. I felt more like protective, because I didn't know how other Calvary guys would go ahead and respond,
right?
Because we can be so you know, pro Calvary, right? You know, in our actions. So
well, we are the best, but, right? But
well, he had me as a mentor.
That's where you went wrong.
I actually encouraged him in that.
We'll talk about having the right mentors.
Yeah, I actually encouraged him in that, and I think it's a very helpful thing. I think one thing too, what I saw from Will, you know, as we talk about learning from others and mentorship, as I'm hearing, like, one thing that really impressed me is just the humility. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And one of the reasons why God has poured out his grace upon Will is because he had a humble posture, and even learning from someone like me.
I like that. Yeah, that's good.
You know, he's 10 years older than me, but yet he's doing a church planting residency at my church.
I'm,
you know,
that much older than you, bro?
Is he really?
Maybe 10 maybe
years?
Not. No, that's not
I ain't
true.
10 years older than you, bro.
How old are you, Will?
I'm 45.
That's true. I'm only 39.
He's 6 years, man. Six years. 10 years, man.
But I, you know.
You're the elder. But you're the oldest here, so you should know the most.
Exactly.
I'm 44. Listen,
I should be submitting to you, bro. Yeah.
What do you want to tell us, man? What should we do? Let's get back to Harbor. So they kind of, you went through their assessment program, and it's a pretty big church planting organization.
They're actually not big. I mean, they're growing in size right now. They're probably about 150 churches in total right now, as far as part of the network. But their goal is to go ahead and I believe their goal is to go ahead and plant 250 churches within the next 5 years.
Okay, so that's less than us.
If
you're comparing, which we're not.
But the cool thing,
500.
I'm going to try to get a couple more churches out.
You accepted the challenge.
Of course.
This is why
I'm a co-host, bro, to support you.
Amen.
So if you want to throw a challenge
out
there.
What's the social media thing where it's like the challenge, like the ice bucket challenge and stuff?
Yeah, of course.
Like the church planting challenge.
There you go.
It's easy. Just plant a church.
Super easy.
No, coming back to mentoring, and I want to just hit this, and then we'll ask another question and let you say some closing thoughts.
So
what I was going to say is, circling back to mentorship and the value of it, and up to this point, I feel like there has been some good Calvary Chapel churches that do mentoring, church planting, you know, without having a network program involved in it, like Cultivate with CGN and some of the other ones. But by and large, it's been kind of hit and miss, and you know, that sort of thing. So the value that you see in mentoring, would you say that going to this other group, Harbor, was a benefit to you? And did it, like, I guess what we want to know, because we got a lot of Calvary Chapel people listening to this, assuming. But is it something, like, do you feel like it sidetracked you from your vision that you had originally from being like a Calvary Chapel guy, and then it kind of sidetracked you and kind of derailed you into something else? Or how do you see that mentoring?
No, I think
from the other organization.
I think the process that that we went through with Harbor Network, it really is relationship based. So and that was one of the reasons why I chose to go ahead and move forward with them, right? Because there are a lot of different church planting networks and organizations that give support. Was because they gave us autonomy to go ahead and be who we were. We didn't have to go ahead and put their stamp on our ourselves and not have anybody else's stamp on it, right? They knew going in that, hey, I'm part of CGN, you know, I've been a Calvary guy, and, you know, I'm doing a residency at a Calvary Chapel, you know, not by name, but a church that's in the network, mm-hmm. you know, here in Delray Beach. You know, and they were perfectly
fine. Is that Daniel's one or a different one?
Yeah, that's Daniel's church, man. Yeah.
What do you do there?
So when we were
What do I do there?
What do you do there, Daniel?
Do you do there? It's your thing. You just tell them, what do you do? What's a residency look like? So in the context of Cultivate, this would be the mentor relationship is working with the local
church. So basically, he came on as a church planting residency, and it's all different. So as a mentor, I'm looking to set him up for success. So we actually didn't do a lot of book studies, stuff like that, because he was getting his master's in church planting. Mm-hmm. He's a master church planter.
Are you a master church planter? Bro, now we really need to listen. All right, you just teach us.
So he was going to college for that, but what he needed is some other tools in his belt to adapt and figure out the pace of setting up, tearing down, training for his wife, for himself to be on the same page, to breathe, even teaching the culture of Calvary Chapel. I didn't need to work on that. I just needed to train him on the certain things that I thought were important for his assessment. So I had a personal assessment with him, sort of knowing his heart, getting to know him and saying, okay, this is how we can prepare you, train you, equip you, and just roll with us. And it was relational, and he came on board for about a year and until I finally had to kick him out.
It's in the plan of the church, and he's been a success. How's the church going?
It's going really well, man.
How many years now? Three and a half. Wow.
Survived through COVID.
Survived through COVID.
That was like the beginning.
6 months before COVID, right?
And you still survived.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
That's right.
All praise and glory to God.
Yeah,
man.
So I have a question, Will, because we were talking about that, the church planting residency. Obviously, there's my side, the mentor, but a mentoree for you. Even though you were a Calvary Chapel pastor, associate pastor in the network, I mean, we had outside relationship anyway. Mm-hmm. What did you get out of that process being a Calvary Chapel pastor? Why would you even submit yourself to another pastor? And what was the process like for you?
Yeah, for me, I mean, like I said, you know, as we were starting this new journey, I knew that there was a lot of stuff that I didn't know, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, as you plan the church, there's a lot of things that you don't know that you don't know, right? But, you know, I think understanding...
That sounded like something someone with a master's would say. I was like, I had to think about it for a couple of seconds. I'm like, okay, all right, yeah, I'm tracking.
There you go. But the reality was, I think as I was saying over lunch, right, or actually before, is, you know, throw me into a church that's already established, I can go ahead and run the ball, right? It's like, okay, hey, we're doing this, we're doing that, you know, but it's a different animal when you don't have, a regular meeting space, when you're having to break down and tear up. And that's sort of what I wanted myself and my wife to go ahead and be able to experience, because I knew, hey, listen, this is not just for me. She's called just as much as I am, and she's going to walk in this with me as well. That's and she's right, going to be my right hand in this, right? You know, so she needs to understand and see what it's going to be like, rather than just jumping into the fire. You know, it became a great place to sit down, right? To go ahead and be part of a community, to see what it was like to do, you know, church at a school or a mobile church, right? Meeting at a different place where you had to go ahead and set up and break down, where you had to go ahead and develop teams and develop, you know, volunteers to go ahead and do all those things so that you weren't doing it yourself. That was one of the areas that you gave me to go ahead and sort of lead coming in, right? You also being the church that you are, you guys supported us financially as well, right? So coming in, and you guys gave us some financial support, right? So I mean, all those things were great. I think for us, it really was just the the friendship, right? The relationship building, right? Just being able to go ahead and say, hey, there's somebody here who's for me and you know, who's going to look out for me, right? And you know, maybe I didn't have much to go ahead and learn, but I think I did, and you were willing to go ahead and take that time, because it is time consuming as well for you being a senior pastor, or for any senior pastor or leader out there who's going to go ahead and commit
it's
to mentoring.
It's a sacrifice,
right? Well, you know,
what about you, Brian? Like, you send out a lot of churches and church planting, and like in your mentorship, how is it a sacrifice for a lead pastor to take on the role of being a mentor?
Yeah, and that's a big thing about the Cultivate program, is we're actually working with local churches. That's the whole design of the program. It's not like we're sending people out to a training base somewhere and then, you know, they're being sent out from there. But having those local church pastors become the mentors, and that does take a sacrifice of time. And what we're asking, and if you're listening to this and you're a church, a senior pastor of a church, or in leadership at a church, like, we would love to plug people into your churches that want to plant churches, so they can learn how things happen. How do you set up in a school? How do you, I mean, just like the stuff you said, Will.
Yeah.
But for me,
you know, the other thing I would say was, I had interviewed with a couple of different churches to go ahead and sort of figure out where I was going to be, you know, as far as, you know, doing a residency.
Yep.
And one of the important things that...
Is that part of the Harbor program, is you need to do a residency?
No,
or that's something you
not,
just
not,
felt like
not
you should
then.
Do?
I just felt like it was something that we can go ahead and do in the meantime. Because when we started the year of planting, the schooling opportunity opened up the door, right, where I was able to go ahead and do this master's degree in church planning, you know, with Capital Seminary. And I figured, hey, I'm not going to go ahead and do school and try to plant at the same time, because I'd shoot myself, right? It'd be a little bit crazy. But so I said, you know, it would be good for me to go ahead and sort of take what I'm doing, because also part of the seminary degree was to do a practicum as well, right, at a church, and that was also part of what we were doing in the process of doing this. But my point that I wanted to make was, if you're a leader, if you're a pastor, or if you're a church that's wanting to go ahead and send out a plant or support a church planter and planting in your city, you know, which was the other thing, right? I planted 10 miles away from, not even, my, what was it, 5 miles away from?
It was 3 miles.
It was three miles away from where he
bro.
Was at.
Come on, bro. And I'm, and
you have to be like 5 miles away, I thought.
Well, no, because here's my thought and my philosophy being a mentor. Calvary Chapel, this is just what we do. It's all relational. If I can get a guy, love on him, pour on him, serve him with the next 20 years, I'm going to want him close.
Yeah.
So now we can do it together.
Because you're going to lunch. You don't want to be driving like 30
That's right.
minutes away. You're
no.
Going to go down the street.
It takes too much time for that.
But I think there's enough people in this town, by the way, to fill out both your churches and more.
Exactly.
And more. We need more churches
so
planted.
It was really an honor and a gift for me to plan events, or to, like, for example, my daughter right now does your child care on
That's
Sunday
right.
mornings, because we're on Sunday nights. Mm-hmm. So I'll literally have my outreach team help you and do booths or do that, and we're doing it together, because I think it's a gift if we invite people into our lives. So like, my plan is, like, I want to invite people and, okay, hey, you plant 3 miles away, you plant five, you plant 10, and then we're better together. So it was a real important thing for me to say, Will, like, I want to help you, and I will help plant this. I will be here with you.
That's
and
right.
What does that look like?
That's
How
the
can
heart
I support
of it.
You?
That's the heart of mentorship. It's the heart of the program. I'm going to ask you one more thing. It's what I ask everybody who comes on the show. Before I do that, though, I just want to let our listeners know that within the Cultivate program, I mean, we've talked about, I think, for the most part, how Will was able to be mentored by this other network. And people have asked me, hey, can I connect with CGN? Can I connect with Calvary Chapel and still be a part of another network? The answer is, yeah, it's case by, I mean, we're relational. It's a relationship.
Yeah.
We're all about the kingdom. This is one of our values at CGN, kingdom-minded. We're mm-hmm. working with other people. We're playing together nicely. You know, we fit. It's like a puzzle pieces that are all fit together for a bigger picture. And so I just wanted to make that really, really clear as far as the Cultivate Church Planting Program at CGN. But I want to ask you this one question, and I ask everybody that comes on about church planting, and it's, what is one thing that you wish?
Oh, man.
I didn't ask them ahead of time. I just spring this
That's
on
right.
people.
You shouldn't.
What,
just make
no,
it spontaneous.
I'm not gonna ask. Yeah, because then it's real. But don't think too long about it. Just, but what I wish I would have known now that I would have known back then, so that you can share with our listeners so they could figure it out.
And that's a tough question. What I wish I would have known then that I know now.
Yeah.
I think not to rely on my own gifting.
Ooh, that's good.
Right? I think as
you're pretty
church,
gifted?
No, I'm not, right?
I'm just messing with you. You gotta be. You gotta be to be a church successful church planner. I'm just messing with you. Sorry.
I just think that, you know, you gotta be who you are, and I think sometimes we can try to strive, right, to look like other things or to strive for what we think success looks like in church planning, mm-hmm. you know. You know, as far as your look, your design, right, making sure everything looks right, because we want to make sure, you know, the feeling's right as people coming into the door, right? It's all, you know, and you just got to be you.
Almost performance based.
Almost performance based in the sense of not workspace, but more like, hey, there is an aspect where, you know, there are skills that other people have, right, that they're gifted in mm-hmm. that you may not be as gifted in.
Yeah.
You know. Don't try to be like them. Be who you are, right?
Amen.
You know. So resting more in the gifts that God has given me, and knowing that God's going to go ahead and bring people along who are going to fill in the gaps.
That's great.
I wish I would have known that.
That's great advice.
Starting off.
Yeah. Well, now other church planters know. Any last words, Daniel?
I would just say, if we want to get to 1,000 churches in 10 years, it's going to take more than one tribe, one personality, one
Ooh.
Type, and so. Yes, I may have a Leadership Lessons podcast and connected and, you know amazing people like Will Torres. But the reality is, what I love about the Cultivate program is there's coachings, there's resources, there's actually guys that could mentor other senior pastors
yep.
to have a heart that is just willing to be available. We always hear that in the Calvary. Like, it's not like, you know, what is that saying now? I lost it. The Calvary gifting is like being available, right?
It's not ability, it's availability.
Oh, so classic. You got another classic
boom.
For me?
Where God guides, God provides.
Boom, go. Hitting it, boom, double boom. Dosage.
Come on.
But like that whole saying, I think we need to hear that. We may not be planting, but senior pastors, leaders, we could do a lot of damage and a lot of... fruitful ministry in our lifetime if we just have a posture of humility and embrace people.
Did you mean Amen. Damage in a good way?
Heck yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Hell. And I was like, I don't want to be known for the cussing pastor. I meant like damage to the kingdom of hell, because the gates of hell will
there
not prevail.
Go. Amen.
But I, out of
Amen.
Context, I didn't want to say it. But we okay. could do a lot of damage in this dark world and be a light and salt and light and do a lot of good. Maybe that's a good, better way to say it.
Do a lot of good.
Do a lot of good if we could do it together. So I would just encourage, my last words, when we think about mentorship, yes, you may be in the posture of planting a church and there's a lot of resources, a lot of networks. We want to help. We want to pour into people. But I would just challenge those that have already planted to start the process right now. What does it look like you to coach or to mentor or to just embrace other church planners? Right now, the question that we're having is, how can we plant a church together? Will and I are right now accepting church planting residencies.
Come on.
You hear that?
That's
so
it.
So you can hook us up. You can call yep. us out. You can see if you want to plant next to us.
Yep.
We could plant you together.
That's right.
So that is what you could do more together than just by yourself in your own little world.
Yep.
And so I would just say, it's not just for the church planter that's involved or wants to plant a church for their own thing. From the DNA, from the birth of your church, how will you plant another church?
Yep.
And that's how we're going to get to that. 1,000 goal.
CultivateChurchPlanning.com. If you want to come out and do a residency with these bros, plant a church.
Come on.
Or get started in the Cultivate program wherever you are. Thanks for being on the show, Will Torres.
It's
been awesome. I had some good laughs,
yes,
and you're a good guy, man.
Thank
great
you, man.
Meeting you. Thanks, Daniel, as always.
Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for joining us today at the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast. For more information on church planting or to get involved with the Cultivate program, visit CultivateChurchPlanting.com. You can also find us on social media and YouTube at Cultivate Church Planting. We'll see you next time.